Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to Fingers on Buzzers.
Welcome, everybody.
Oh, nice. Very nice. I like that. Let's try harmonising next week. Let's slowly build up.
Let's not.
No, let's not. So this show, Jen, I am very much looking forward to boosting my self-esteem after last week's terrible, terrible quizzing from me.
You weren't that bad. I think you are being harsh on yourself.
I do. I feel like I've just got worse as the series has gone on. I'm actually
just
losing.
Got drunker.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is. I need to sober up and fast. So it's going to be airports and codes, which I'm quite looking forward to. That's your quiz syllabus topic.
I've never got that song, Airports, in my head.
I don't know that song.
No? I'll play it for you.
We'll harmonise on that later.
We'll harmonise on it.
And we've got a listener quiz sent in. Listener quiz! Chris Walsh sent us a listener quiz!
Very harmonic this week.
Listener quiz! Yeah.
Are you auditioning for X Factor?
I am in no way ever going to sing in public.
apart from this.
Apart from this, because no one can see me, it's fine. And we're going to have our usual interviews with the insiders, the movers and shakers from the world of quiz.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all coming up. But first this. Now, you know I was saying that my quizzing is getting worse and like my memory is getting worse. That did give me an idea for our discussion topic, which is memorable quiz show contestants. Cool, what makes a memorable contestant? Because I was thinking about this because I was watching Monkman and Siegel.
Mm.
And I was thinking, well, that's, you know, University Challenge is one of those programmes that does spawn a lot
of breakout stars.
Yeah, memorable. Well, I think because as good as Monkman and Siegel are, what happened to Gail Trimble? Do you remember Gail Trimble?
I do remember. I remember her very well.
Do you know her? Is she around? Is she doing anything?
No, she's not really on the quiz circuit. And I suspect a lot of that is because of the media coverage on University Challenge.
Mm.
Lots of stuff was focused on the fact that she was a woman and attractive.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of the male... the male viewership, the male gaze.
Yeah.
Yeah, not gaze, G-A-Z-E. Was focused upon her, and up for a show which is about, you know, your internal organ, the brain.
Yeah,
a lot was focused on her external appearance, and I think it soured the experience for her somewhat.
It is awful, isn't it? I mean, also I think because people are so astonished by University Challenge contestants generally, it is it's a bittersweet thing, isn't it? Like, do you remember who was the guy who Sam Fairbrother? Who he was on a very recent series, and he had like a really exciting haircut, a sort of, you know, very cool
it
guy.
It doesn't take much to excite the viewers of University Challenge, let's be fair.
Isn't it mad though? Because he was sort of
a rogue Westcott.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy in a vest as well whose name escapes me, but this guy, Sam Fairbrother, he had a vest as well. And Hannah Woods and her eyebrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
she's fantastic. I mean, she's a good one to follow on Twitter. She's very sharp. Yeah, very funny.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Because
get her on, Hannah, if you're out there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Give us a ring, love.
I sort of think with University Challenge, it just shows that it isn't so much about your intellectual ability. It is kind of about, it's telly, isn't it? It's all about how you look.
It's an entertainment show at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, the only other way, so you've either got to have a distinctive look, or the other
good
way...
faces as well, that's another
true.
One.
There's a lot of University Challenge face pulling.
When they don't actually realise how they look when they're trying to come up with an answer.
I know.
I'm terrible for it as well. People send me screenshots of my most extreme facial expressions.
Well, my kids told me that if you want to remember something, then you've got to look from side to side very quickly, which I've started doing, which looks absolutely mad. But that's apparently a thing that you... but also, because when I've played poker on television, I've been told how idiotic I am because I have all my ridiculous tales, like pulling my hair over my face.
Whooping.
Basically. You jest, but it's almost... And similarly with quizzing, I get a little bit overexcited and I do bounce and, you know, and so I do feel for those University Challenge people because it's like, well, you're at a tender age and at university.
Most of them are.
Some of them are the cheating mature students. But it's when they say the average age of the team is
like that
58.
That in,
and you go,
well,
that's because you've got a 90-year-old playing for you. That's what that is. But it's quite interesting in that, isn't it?
Mm.
It's quite good. But the memorableness of contestants, it's either, funny look, funny habits or you know, whatever, which all seems a bit cruel, or just be really thick
or just have that one bad day, and that's thing is, if you have a bad day and, you know, 3 million people are watching it, you know, a significant chunk of those people have access to social media and hashtags and screenshots, then, man, are you in trouble.
I mean, it's bad. I do feel for... I think it was David Lammy who was on University Challenge.
Well, but I think that was also... That's the fact that he's an MP and he's supposed to be, you know, cut above. He's supposed to be intelligent and, good Lord.
Yeah.
The gaps in his knowledge.
I know, but, you know, it isn't about... I don't really care, actually, whether my politicians have good general knowledge. I kind of want them to be, you know... passionate and knowledgeable about their area and their constituents.
Well, that covers everything, though. You know, they're supposed to be naturally curious people, which quizzes are.
Yeah.
I think it would indicate something to me if, you know, I didn't know what the capital of Madagascar was. Mm. You know, my local MP.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I'm going to have to email him now.
Yeah, do
Dear
that.
Sir David.
Email
what
your...
No Googling. What is the capital of Madagascar?
I don't know. Well, Nick Hurd's my MP, and I wouldn't hold out much hope. I'm not sure, really. He doesn't look like he'd... Anyway, you know, I'll try as well.
We're going to quiz our MPs.
Yes, quiz our MPs.
I think Sir David Crosby's going to do quite well. I have high hopes
that he'll be
a half-decent
Let's put
quizzer.
Him against my MP, Nick Hurd.
Head-to-head,
it'd be good. I mean, the people who have a really spectacularly bad day, we were watching a clip of Pointless... where some poor girl who was asked to name a country whose last two letters are both consonants.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said Paris. And she was, it being pointless, she was on with her friend. And, I mean, it's a classic quiz show clip. Do look it up if you haven't seen it. But her friend looks like... It looks more like she's just found out that she's been sleeping with her boyfriend rather than she just said Paris. But, I mean, it's quite an extraordinary...
Again, it's the visuals of it, the reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Because it would be embarrassing enough for the poor girl.
Yeah.
But her friend's reaction has made it such a vintage clip. Yeah. You must look it up.
The other thing that I was thinking is going for gold, because we all remember particularly perky contestants. Amanda's favourite. Oh, who was your favourite, Amanda?
John Van Wormerschgergen.
John Van Wormerschgergen.
We're still looking for John. He's dropped off the map. Yeah. We need to find him.
So anyone, if you have any memorable quiz show contestants that you would like to bring to our attention. Also, the other one is Always on the Chase. Anyone who takes a minus offer gets so much... And I bet there are some legendary people who... Wasn't there a woman... There was a woman who got nothing right and took a...
-8, I think.
Was it? Yeah.
But the all-time classic one of those, and you can tell when they're showing this episode on Challenge because the hashtag... Because I've got TweetDeck on my computer and the hashtag of the chase comes up. I don't look at it religiously, but it's sometimes fun to, if there's an episode on, see what people are saying. And yeah, that's somehow like in the middle of the night, it's 2 a.m. and that hashtag goes mental. And it's because this episode where a contestant, I think it might be seat 4, takes the low offer and goes back, and another contestant takes great exception to the fact that they went low. I think he calls him a maggot.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'll look that one up. Yeah. Oh, that's probably clipped somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I'll have
it. We'll tweet out some of these clips because they're all marvellous, and do let us know your favourite moments from your favourite contestants, for good or for bad.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you saw someone who caught your eye and you thought, oh, I wish I could find them, you know, they were memorable
quiz
to me.
Quiz matchmaking.
Yeah, let us know. Do, let us know. Get in touch.
The jingle. All of my jingles do sound the same.
Delightful, though. Delightful.
Thank you.
My name is Thomas de Bock. I've appeared on 3 quiz shows, including University Challenge and Only Connect. I currently live in Louvigné in eastern Belgium, although I'm hoping to move back to the United Kingdom for work relatively soon. I'm sad to say the quiz show format is nowhere near as popular in Belgium as it is in the UK. There are only 2 quiz shows currently broadcast on French-speaking Belgian TV channels. Most of the ones that we get here actually come from France, the 2 most popular ones being Tout le monde veut prendre sa place and Les 12 coups de midi, aired at the same time every day on competing channels. They're of the regular format of a few contestants, including the previous day's champion, competing to win that particular day and build up a jackpot every single day. So the quiz I appeared in on Belgian TV is called Septante. It's, or literally 71. It's an adaptation, a very loose adaptation, of 1 versus 100. So the format, as the name implies, is a public of 71 people, of which one person is randomly chosen at the start of each show. That person goes on stage with the presenter, Jean-Michel Zeka, and answers 10 questions in a row, multiple choice questions with 3 possible choices. 3 of those questions are for €100, then 3 questions for €200, 3 for €400, and 1 final question for €500. Making for a maximum possible total of 2,600. After every question, if you're in the 70 people in the audience, if you get one wrong, you are knocked out, and you do not come back until the person who is in front of the audience gets one wrong. When they do get one wrong, unlike 1 versus 100, they do not get eliminated, but one person who has already been knocked out is brought back randomly, ostensibly at least, to join however many people still remain in the audience. And this goes on until the very end. There is one lifeline to be used before the final question and after, I believe, question four, called the Blick, which allows you to see how the audience answered the particular question you want to use it on. And with that, the single candidate, the one versus the 70, can choose to either keep their answer, change their answer, or change the question entirely. They only rack up money when they get a question right. If they don't, the money is just lost. It doesn't go to the audience or anything. And by the end of the 10 questions, their aim is to have eliminated everyone in the audience, by which point they win all the money they have racked up. If they can't knock everyone out, then the money that the single contestant has racked up is split amongst all the people who have not been eliminated, and that person wins 10 times the number of people they have knocked out in Euro. And recently they've added an extra twist, which is if the single contestant has knocked everyone out, they can go for a double nothing option, by which, as its name suggests, means they can either double their cash or lose it all. And they are, of course, absolutely able to not go for that option. Well, how I did depended on the day you watched. So, 6 shows are taped every day of filming, and the single contestants are all chosen at the very start of the day. And because I wasn't chosen, I was in the audience of 70 for all 6 shows. Most of the time, I was knocked out within the first 4 or 5 questions because of very French or Belgian content that I just didn't know. And it was only at the final show, where I'd already been knocked out on question 6, I believe, where I was brought back randomly before the very last question, which luckily was something I knew, that a vexillophile collects and or likes flags, which allowed me to split the pot of €1,700 with 2 other people who also got that question right. So I was a member of several quiz teams when I was in the UK for university, which includes the Quiz League of London Summer League for a few weekends, but mostly academic buzzer quizzing for Oxford Brookes University, as well as other open quizzes. So this is a format which is like University Challenge, but with longer starter questions, which focus on having really structured knowledge going from obscure clues to more and more famous clues, in order to make sure that for every question, the most knowledgeable team about that subject gets the question right. In my time at Oxford Brookes University, I rebuilt the quiz society to take part mostly in this kind of quiz, which I believe helped quite a few people there to get better at quiz and hopefully have another shot at going on University Challenge and do rather better than I did when I was on 2 years ago. Unfortunately, this isn't really a hobby I can really pursue back home in Belgium. The quiz scene is extremely fractured between the north and the south of the country. The north has a relatively big competitive quiz scene with a few different events, mostly like the Grand Prix written quizzes that you have in the United Kingdom, whereas the south is just an absolute quiz desert, aside from a couple people I know online who are serial quiz show contestants, including my friend Nicolas Descamps. I would urge any university students or future university students who are listening to this podcast to join their university's quiz society and take part in some buzzer quizzes against other universities. It's a very good way to meet other students from all over the country who are also interested in quizzes. If you don't have a quiz society, or your quiz society doesn't really do that kind of thing, you can make that change. You can set up your own society. You can get in touch with UK Quiz Bowl, which is the organization that runs academic buzzer quizzing in the UK, and you can check that out on Facebook, on Twitter, and at the website quizbowl.co.uk. That's quizbowl.co.uk.
So, it is the listener quiz, which has been sent in by Chris Walsh.
Hey, Chris.
Amanda's got
the quiz
there.
Again, we don't know the gender of Chris.
No,
Chris. Let's not gender Chris at all.
Christine, Christopher, yeah. Chris Lala.
welcome.
Chrysalis, yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Christmas.
Christmas Walsh.
Short.
Christmas Walsh has sent in a quiz.
Short for Christmas.
Christmas quiz. Now, what is it? What is it, Amanda?
Well, it's some general knowledge, but all the answers do have a connection.
Only connect.
I'm going to leave. It won't. I predict it won't take you very long to get it. Are we going to do it so that the person who does get the connection gets an extra point?
Yeah.
Yeah, says Lucy. Yeah.
Yes. She begs for points.
Think that this is an excellent idea, and I think that anyone who is currently trailing in the overall quiz, I don't know who that is, I haven't checked, but whoever it is. Whoever's on one should get maybe double points for every answer.
Jenny's shaking her head.
No, okay.
So,
I'm shrugging because it's that far behind.
You just don't care. She just doesn't care anymore.
What are your buzzers this week?
Okay,
then?
I've gone for
Brazilian percussion instrument.
Washboard.
What is the mystery noise? There you go. Write in and let us know what you think it is. And Jenny,
another
your
mystery noise.
Ooh.
It's ominous, isn't it?
Could it be?
Yeah, we want to know what you think those noises are.
Right.
Okay, so question number one from Chris Walsh. Which David Lean film starred Sarah Miles in the title role and won Best... Jenny?
Ryan's Daughter.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
Question number two.
Have I got the link?
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it. Lucy was poised then to do it, but Jenny, you got in there first.
Is it Surnames of Chasers?
Incorrect.
That would have been a very good link, though.
It would have been a very good link, but that is not the link today.
Ugh.
Question number two. Which Tom Sharp novel first published in
It's Porterhouse Blue.
Correct. Would you like to hazard a guess at what the link is?
I would like... It's a Fingers on Buzzers special, Jenny and Lucy, It's about us.
Correct.
Aww. Nice.
So that's obviously going to help along with the remainder of the answers. So
well, we should be getting these.
Yeah, we should.
So Jenny is on one and Lucy's on two. Oh, interesting. It's all to play for. Question number three. Which footballer won BBC Sports Personality of the Year in 2009 and has awarded the... Lucy?
Ryan Giggs.
Yes. So 3-1. Question number four. Which American singer had top 10 hits in the 80s with If You Let Me Stay and Wishing Well? Lucy?
Terence Trent D'Arby.
It's okay. It's you are correct because it's Lucy Porterence.
Yay!
Wow.
I did.
Stretched there, Chris.
I was there going, I know the answer, but yes.
Well done. You are tenuous. Storming ahead, and even if you get this one right, Jenny, then I'm afraid.
I'm singing.
This is where the comeback begins.
You can't sing your way out of this one. So, question number five. Which river is the longest in the world to flow entirely within one country?
Oh, very good.
Jenny.
The Missouri.
Incorrect.
It's worth a go.
Nobody's surnames appears in that.
Good point.
So,
good point. Well made.
The Rhine.
Oh, that's such a good guess, but it's incorrect.
The Porter.
Considering the last answer was very tenuous, I think you can go by very tenuous lines here.
Ryan.
Shall I give a clue as to first name? So it's the Jenny something. It incorporates Jenny's surname.
Okay. Does that help? Oh.
Jenny.
Yangtze.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Very well Jenny done. But Lucy, amazing. You still won.
Do you know what? I mean, I have always been a big fan of, what's his name again? Chris, or she, Chris Walsh, one of the finest human beings ever to have walked the planet.
One of our favourite listeners, of your favourite listeners.
My favourite listener, let's just put it out there, absolutely my favourite. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for restoring some little shred of dignity to me. I'm hugely grateful. I'm slightly tearful. I intend to be magnanimous in victory. Just a few thank yous.
She's flicking the V's.
I'm actually going to get my bottom out and run around the room, mooning Amanda and Jenny. There we go. Whoop! There you are. Have that. Thank you very much, Chris. Please keep sending in your listener quizzes. Make them more like that, please.
We are backstage at the glamorous Leicester Square Theatre in London's nearly West End.
Glittering near West End.
It is, and we're with the equally glittering Mr. Richard Herring.
Hello.
Yes, Richard Herring.
Thanks for coming to my dressing room.
Well, yeah, so we...
Thanks for not calling security.
Often just hang out in your dressing room. Well, we're about to do your podcast.
That's true, yes.
I mean, it's so incestuous, I can't even bear it. So we're going to do your podcast, talking about whatever we're going to talk about, but now... Now we're going to ask you about quizzing.
Okay.
And we did cheat a bit. We already started because we started talking about Pointless, which you were on with your glorious wife.
That's my third occasion on with my wife.
Not your third wife.
My first wife. I don't think I've got the energy to marry again.
No, not even if you found someone who's really good at Pointless.
No. Well, no. Maybe for that. Maybe
yeah,
for
come
that.
On.
But my wife played as if she was playing Family Fortunes. I managed to get the top answer every time. Oh. And then I had to duck in. But it was still preferable to the previous two occasions where my partners slightly let me down. First up was Rona Cameron.
Yeah.
And it was really... I was so nervous because I love Pointless so much. Yes, and I really want to do well. Yes. And it was like a dream round for us because it was about 80s pop music.
Oh, you've got amazing.
But it was what solo artists have had a number one in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And I let Rona go first because I thought she knows more about it than I can just say Michael Jackson. I had a few ideas, but my mind was really going blank. And she said Topow, who are not a solo artist.
Oh, read the question.
So she got 100. And so then I thought I've got to get... It was 107 to get through. And I think I could have played it better because I was just... If I'd given her a correct answer, I think the next... people would have buckled under the strain. So they could just say Michael Jackson. I got 100 as well. So I thought, I was just then thinking, what was it, definitely number one? Was it definitely 1980s? And my whole mind was going, you know,
I
came with Joe Dolce, then I convinced myself that was 70s because I'd seen it on Tiz Was, and I thought, I only watched Tiz Was in the 1970s.
Definitely
of course,
the 80s.
It was when he kept Ultravox off number one. So thought that was obvious. But I just got in a panic and I thought, right, well, definitely 1980s was John Lennon, and then I thought, cleverer than that is. I had this feeling 90% that Brian Ferry had recorded Jealous Guy as Brian Ferry, not as Roxy Music.
Oh, no, and he hadn't. Yeah, no. It turns out he very much hadn't.
It was his only number one, I think, but it was still as Roxy Music.
So I tried to be too clever.
Well, I did, because actually anything under seven, nearly everything was seven. So Shakin' Stevens, who's the most popular artist of the 1980s, Pointless.
No!
Sold more records than anyone else in the 1980s, Pointless.
Do you know, that makes me ashamed of the nation.
And I think anyone, you know, I think I was thinking Whitney Houston, I was thinking Lionel Richie, and he's thinking, but they'll be so high.
I know, because Lionel Richie, you'd think, everyone remembers Hello being number one for decades.
Yeah,
but
so even, I think even Michael Jackson was, which was what the other team went for, because they only had to count 100, I think it was about 30.
Oh,
so, you know, seven was actually, nearly everything was under
a lot
seven.
Of teenagers.
Wow. Yeah, well, also, but you know, if you've got a name, there's so many people to name, aren't there, that you're not going to think.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
of the obvious ones. So, yeah, so that was a disaster.
God,
so
I mean, that is properly awful, because yeah, that's like two wrong answers in the first round.
But, I mean, I was sort of forced into it, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we were up against, like, Tim Brooke Taylor and John Wells or something on one. You think, well, we're deaf. And, like, so two people have got 100. So, like, just before Rona, the guy had said Chris Rea, who didn't have a number one in the 1980s. Yeah, yeah. And so we did. All we had to do was get two correct answers, basically. Yeah. And she tried to be too
she
clever.
She let you down.
You were
she
both did. Trying to be too clever.
And then Robert was... We talked about this for 10 minutes, and then Robert Webb. the second one, we got through to the second round, and I got a pointless answer with a... Yeah, it was something like a country with a vowel in it or at the end or something like that. So I said the obvious one, Djibouti. Djibouti, which is the obvious pointless answer, which was pointless.
Yeah.
And then he said something like Peru or something, which was 9. And we actually had we had the same number of points as the other lowest team. And so then we had to face off. And then I said Tuvalu was my second one. But then 6 people had said that for some reason. So they got a pointless answer to me. And I should have said Nauru or Palu or whatever those other ones. So I had hundreds of them up my sleeve, though, so I was ready for that.
We were
knocked out against some very good teams. So
that hurts, though.
Yeah, Hal Cruttendon, I think.
I felt you and Rona deserved it, if I'm honest.
Yes.
But I don't feel... Yeah. I feel you and Rob Webb were...
And then on the final, the third time, we got through to the head-to-head, and then... Okay, very bad being on podium one in pointless, and we were on podium one, and so Katie had to start every time. So, and I think if she had a bit more time, I put her in first, 'cause I thought that'd be better than coming in last. It's kind of difficult with the first one, you haven't got the gauge of everything, and also then everyone else is coming back down the line. Right, Lindsay's daughter kept on saying all the answers I was going to say, so they had a lower point average than us, but I would have got absolutely everything that they'd got. And then, so they went first in the head-to-head, which I think the other way around we'd have won, I think.
Yeah.
But we were lost by 2 points on the third question on the head-to-head.
The fourth time has to be the
chance. Yeah, so it's great.
You need to be very careful with choosing your partner.
Well, I've never been allowed to choose. I've always just been placed with someone. Have you chosen when you've gone on?
I think I chose Rob Deering.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
Did you not win with Rob Deering?
I now regret that choice.
Really?
Obviously. Yeah. No, it wasn't
off the Christmas card.
Absolutely. I've discussed this on previous episodes of the podcast. I'm working through it slowly and I'm nearly cleansed of my resentment. No, it was not his fault, but we did go out in the first round.
Did you?
Not his fault, but...
I won't
be inviting him again.
It's a terrible, painful thing... The first question is just something you don't know about.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they're just so... The actual, you know, one we got through on, the questions were, what country produces over a ton of coffee, you know? And, like, if you think about it, it's everything around the equator.
Yes,
but,
yes,
you know,
yes,
if you don't... Yes, that, you're just sort of guessing, really. And so it's just sort of luck about what comes up.
Yeah.
And certainly when we got through with Robert, it was just complete luck about... It was about politicians who share the same first, second... It's the same surname with a comedian or something like that. Stephen Merchant, someone else Merchant.
Oh,
I thought I might be wrong about that, but
but
it was just all the ones I thought, oh, that'll be high, were low, and all the ones I thought that'd be low, that'd be high. It's just sort of like,
oh, I know. Sometimes it absolutely breaks your heart, doesn't it? And what other ones have you done then? So pointless.
Celebrity Mastermind, which was another kind of. I mean, I always just. I always come sort of. So in Celebrity Mastermind, I thought I got the highest ever score. You got 35. Celebrity Mastermind.
You pointed out to me the timings changed.
Oh, did they?
And then,
but I got 35 on, so I got one wrong on my specialist subject, and then I had a brain freeze halfway through. Like, so there was one question I couldn't really understand the words he was saying. It was what ancient? I don't even think of what he's saying without saying the answer. Which Roman sports people were named after a flower or something like that, but it was longer than that.
Okay.
And by the time Gladiator was the first thing that came to my mind, but then I got so confused by everything that I thought it must be something harder than Gladiator, and so I just got confused. Then the next question I was almost tuned out for, but I managed to get back in.
I got two,
I think I passed on one and got two wrong, and then the last question, when I had the time, it was, what four-letter word describes food of no nutritional value? And I said fast food. But I think hold on,
it's not quite
it was
right.
junk food. And if I'd said junk food, I'd have won, because Hillary Kay got the same number as me, but one would have got the same number as me if I got that right. No. She got 36.
Right.
But I had one pass and she had two passes.
Oh, so that now means so she's got a higher score than me.
Yeah, but it was interesting on that, because she actually scored about five more than me, and then they. because I was counting, and then suddenly everyone went, shoo, shoo, and they all disappeared into room, and then they came back and said she scored one more than me. They'd obviously forgotten to ring the buzzer, which I can't, I never would think would happen in Marseille. So whether I could have gone, well, hold on,
yes.
can I have absolute proof that yes. this is the same? But I thought it would be.
I bet there was a lawyer on standby. Yeah. There's always a lawyer on standby. Yeah. Although not so much.
But that's a bad mistake to make, isn't it? You can't believe after all the...
Everybody in the entire production team just tuned out.
Yeah. Again, Gladiator. I thought it was Gladiator, and then it's interrupted.
So that it took me ages to get over that because it was so disappointing to get so close.
And I worked really hard.
It was Hilary Kay, who's an antiques expert. And she did Wedgwood pottery as her special subject. And I did Rasputin, which meant learning. I don't speak Russian. I had to learn all these names sort of phonetically and think of ways of remembering them. And I really did way more than I needed to do. Yeah. And so it was, you know, again, I got one wrong, but it was something in English that I got wrong.
Was that before or after you wrote the Rasputin play?
It was before I wrote the play, so I did it partly. I'd done another show about Rasputin, a couple other shows about him, so I was always very interested in him. But I didn't know any, I didn't have any of the facts in my head. Then it was part, I thought, well, it'll be good research for that if I'm reading all the books again. But of course it isn't, because you're just trying to remember the name of the policeman who arrested the murderers and then realise it's never going to go that far.
This is proper quizzer attitude, though, because you remember everything you've got wrong or just missed out on.
Oh, man, the point is more disappointing, weirdly. I've done House of Games, which was out in November, but I'd recorded in, so I've been sitting on it for ages. But I won four of the nights on that. It was only one other person's done. So I came third on the first one. I thought, and I was up against like Rachel Riley and the newsreader woman who was really, really clever, who came second in all of them and could still have nearly won it because of the way it works in that. But that sort, it's sort of not quite quizzing, that it's more mind games.
Quiz element, yeah. It's like IQ tests, game show
puzzles.
With puzzles.
We love puzzles.
Have you done it? Have you done
no,
you'd,
no,
be,
no.
You'd be great on it. It's really good. Once you, but because you record five in a day, it's really exhausting. Mentally exhausting. So, like, to begin, I wasn't quite tuned in and I was making silly mistakes. But the fifth one, I actually, again, I knew I needed to come. There was a way if I'd come third and someone else come first, even though I'd won three of them, I could still not win. And I thought, that's definitely going to happen. And after about two rounds, that was how it was. And I'd actually tuned, there was a point where I was so tired that something came up. It was anagrams, and I worked out what the answer was. I went, oh, yeah. And then somehow tuned out, so I didn't answer.
Oh, no!
I don't know what happened. But my brain... And then you just make silly little mistakes with it because it's quite a complicated game. Really good, though. It's really enjoyable. I think of all the things I've done, that was the one. Not just because I won it. I got a trophy. But it was really fun, even up to the point where I wasn't winning. It was just sort of... It does help. And you get stupid little prizes for that as well. So that was good. And I'd like to do Tipping Point. Have you done Tipping Point?
I'm not. I'd like to do Tipping Point as well.
Talked about Ben Shepherd. The reason I wanted you on my podcast is I talk about this all the time. I'm really obsessed with talking to people about being on. And Joe's doing a new... Joe Lycett, who's on tonight as well.
Yeah, I saw it. I just watched it this afternoon. Because I didn't realise it was general knowledge yet. I thought it was a game show.
So I find it really interesting, and it's kind of, and it's great to get the opportunity to go on these things, isn't it? Especially as a civilian, as a non-civilian, so just get this sort of free pass to go on Pointless three times.
It is the only reason I continue to do comedy, is so that I get shows. I've
but
got
I think
no
you could. There's so many of them going. There's so many silly. I did one on the Channel 5 that they were recording at the last minute, which is always. In fact, with Katie and me on Pointless, it was the day before John Stapleton had dropped out with his wife, Lynn Goldsworth. and so you kind of know it was the same with this Channel 5 thing, but it was sort of like House of Gamesy, but a bit more drunken. It was quite good fun, but I think you could make quite a good living all pay quite well, and you
make money for charity as well, so you're doing good as you quiz,
keep telling yourself that.
You're doing it purely altruistically,
except I don't think I'm Pointless. I don't think I ever have, the third time. The first two times someone also got the jackpot, so that means if no one gets the jackpot, then it's all shared between everyone's charity. But if someone gets the jackpot, they get all the money. So the first two times they got it. The time I nearly got through, I would have got a Pointless answer, but I don't think I would have chosen the subject they chose. I've got a couple of Pointless answers on there.
Their
thing, but I don't think I'd have chosen
it. Could have been.
But I think I'd have chosen it was live action Disney films, and it was one of the choices, and I think they'd have asked name an actor in 101 Dalmatians or whatever, and I said Mark Williams, and that would have been pointless.
Yeah, it's a lovely
absolutely played it through in your head.
So close.
Pictured yourself.
If I'd just been the other hand, I'd have said Steve Carell as the. If I'd known the name, and I keep on trying to remember this, but the guy who wrote the Japanese author. I still can't remember his name.
Kazuo Ishiguro, Kazuo Ishiguro.
Yeah, and so if I said that's obviously the lowest one, but we can get that. But we both, there was like a music one in the middle, and I'm not very good at music. Yeah. Occasionally, I sort of pull stuff out of my ass.
Yeah, no, but it's all contemporary now.
We did a quiz. We did the PTA quiz at in our village where we lived.
But
we came second in that as well. But there was like loads of answers I managed to pull out my ass from that. Like, yeah. I recognised Mike and the Mechanics or something. And they're playing all these tiny little snippets. And
that's just middle age.
I don't know much about Mike and the Mechanics. I love it when just something comes into your head and you don't know why. More what happens. The older you get, the more that happens. Because I used to know all the answers, and now it's just like, if I don't think about it, sometimes it'll jump into my head.
Sort of
but if I think about it, I can't. My generalised used to be pretty good, but now it's quite lame, I think, really.
Well, it is depressing, isn't it, when you think that, you know, this is why I continue to really love doing it, though, because it just gives me some sense that I'm still retaining, because I can't remember where I've left my keys or the names of my children, so I'm like, well, at least I can still dredge Mike and the Mechanics. I've still got the living years.
And then the one I couldn't get, and I'm sure they asked this, the last PTA quiz was who sang Betty A. Davis Eyes, basically.
Oh, Kim Carnes.
Yes, that we'd have won. Well... But again, we actually answered the most questions on the PTA quiz correctly, but there was a joke where you got double points. And it was random,
poor
really. You'll have to choose it at the start, so you don't even know what anything's going to be.
Right.
And so if we'd done it on the round that they did it on, we'd have won, because we got everything right in that round.
Was Kim Carnes number one in the 80s with Betty Davis?
She might have been. I'm not sure she was.
Oh, would have been a great one.
Was it Barry Gardner? Now every time I see anything from the 1980s, the guy who sang... I was watching Top of the Pops the other night.
I want to make it with you.
Yeah.
Boris Gardner.
I want to wake up with you. Boris Gardner, is it? Yes.
Boris Gardner.
That would be a great one.
That would be beyond pointless. Minus 10 people.
There was
Boris
loads
Gardner.
Of, in the charts that week, there were loads of songs basically about people pretending that they were being romantic and didn't want to fuck someone. So I Want to Wake Up With You is basically I Want to Go to Bed With You.
Yeah.
And there's also Jermaine...
Jermaine Stewart, was that?
Yeah. He might have got to number one. I don't think he did.
No.
But Shaky, that's incredible. Isn't it? No one remembers Shaky.
The 80s was his decade.
Rona Cameron was the president of the Shaky Stevens Foundation.
Rona. Well,
she won it subsequently with Sean Hughes, and you know, that's nice. They certainly teamed up. I think they won it together.
Oh,
so.
Nice colder. Lovely. Well, if anyone wants to write in with their favourite number ones of the 80s,
or indeed any of the least memorable artists.
I mean, Joe Dolce was just there, straight away, Joe Dolce.
And it would have brought a smile to the nation's face.
That could have said, shut up in your face, Richard Osborne.
Could have gone through singing it to bemused children.
If I'd succeeded in that first one, who knows, that might never have gone back. Wouldn't have the legend of being second
place. It's actually. The fourth time, you and me together. Probably you and Jenny, actually, more realistically, you two should do it. Would you be allowed to be on Pointless?
With special permission, I suppose.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but you should
and
do
it. And it would have to be like a super quizzes edition. It wouldn't be fair for you to be on. Against the Osmond brothers, who nearly fucking knocked up me out. They're too decrepit.
Pro celebrity Pointless.
Yeah, that could work. That'd be good. That'd be lovely. Well, Rich, we're going to let you get on with
thank
your
Thank you. I'm going to get ready for my podcast.
I'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, it's time for me to quiz you. Why am I singing everything today?
Because I can and I will. Let's just sing everything. It'll make my ignorance less embarrassing.
Or more.
I've lost all dignity.
So you're getting a quiz, and you are looking forward to this.
I was
for once you're looking forward to
ridiculously confident
one of my quizzes.
About this. Yeah. This is, but I don't know. Good feeling.
We're going to do a relatively quick fire quiz.
Great. Yeah.
And it's airports which have the name of a person.
Oh, okay. And do I tell you where?
Well,
the...
I'm going to mix and match.
Okay.
So I can give you the name of a person, and you tell me.
Beautiful.
Where the airport is, which city it serves particularly,
mm-hmm.
or I'll do it the other way around. We'll see.
Okay.
Whose name is upon the airport of Madeira?
Oh, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Correct. How do you remember that?
I remember it because there is a terrible statue that somebody that made of him. Oh, and I felt awful because I read the story of the, because it's like a local sculptor and it was such a
and
big...
And they picked a photo of him smiling, which is quite rare.
Yeah.
But they wanted it to be nice, didn't they?
Yeah.
No, and it didn't work. They had to redo it.
I know, and it sounded so awful for that poor sculptor. Oh, so, wow. Yeah. So that's why. And also, yeah, Madeira, who else would it be?
Who else? The most famous son of Madeira.
Cake or wine or Cristiano Ronaldo?
I like two out of three of those.
No, let's not say which.
Whose name is on the airport of New Orleans?
Oh, now I don't know that.
I can give you clues, or you can ask for clues.
Is it a blues musician?
It's a musician.
It's a musician. Okay, so who's from New Orleans? But you said, so not blues, jazz?
Yeah.
A jazz musician from New Orleans. Is it Louis Armstrong?
I just did a little mime with Louis Armstrong.
I know, I just saw it in my peripheral vision.
It was beautiful.
And I was, yeah, very good. I could
I'm
have
sure
said Dizzy
never
Gillespie.
Danced like that. But yeah. Yes, Louis Armstrong.
Louis, okay.
Because I like to know whether someone does Louis or Lewis.
Okay.
But when he's singing Hello Dolly, he says, Hello Dolly, this is Louis Dolly.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's how he said it himself, I'll go with that. That's good enough for me.
Good for you, right. The problem is, that's going to be one of those things now where whenever I bring it up, it's like, you know, so I'll say, oh yes, Louis Armstrong. And everyone will be like, oh, bloody hell, she's just said Louis Armstrong. She doesn't know. Oh, it's Louis. And so then I'll
but
have
you're
to
talking
always...
about the guy who was landed on the moon, so that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh my God.
Pals with Buzz Aldrin, you know, Louis Armstrong. But it will be like, because I listened to an In Our Time where they were talking about, as I would say, Don Quixote.
Yes.
And Melvin Bragg et al. The whole way through went Don Quixote. And then, and I was like... I was like, but that's always the way that I thought ignorant people said it. And then I think towards the end, Melvin Bragg just did a Don Quixote as people in the know pronounce it.
Sickening.
And they all, Don Quixote. But Don you think, well, if I say Don Quixote, people are going to think I'm a thicko.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you're
which
actually,
I'm actually not. Yeah, I'm actually right. Anyway, there you go.
Anyways.
Lewis Armstrong, Lewis Hamilton.
Which filmmaker has the airport of Rimini named after him?
I would say, okay, Fellini.
It is Fellini. Because actually when you think about it, you start thinking how many Italian filmmakers there are. But yes, it's Fellini.
Antonioni or Fellini, that's
which notorious.
In fact, you know what, I was watching a university challenge the other day, and it was, you know, that bit where they go, and your next question or your bonus questions are on Italian physicists. And you know when you go, well, I literally don't know any of those, so that will be, and I think they just said the same one.
Yes,
they're all
at least you've got a go-to. They've got one go-to. Yeah. Italian physicists.
I think it was Fermi or so, you know, there was someone who
you may as well have been.
Yes, anyway, so that's the one Italian film director I know, and that was the one it was, so
nice,
that's
one.
Great.
Very well done. Which notorious European personage has the airport at Ajaccio? Ajaccio, I guess they're saying it, in Corsica, named after him.
Well, that's going to... Now, Corsica is Napoleon.
Yes, it's Napoleon Bonaparte Airport.
Yeah, as it would be. Yeah. I've flown into... not that one. I went to the other one in Corsica.
Gdansk Airport...
Oh,
it's named after
Lech Walesa.
Yes, it is. I was going to say. Mm. I found it still alive. Still going.
Yeah.
I thought there was a rule. Maybe it's just British airports where they can't be named after a living person.
Yes.
Because there was a campaign to have an airport in the southwest. It might have been Bristol Airport, named after one of the Wurzels.
Oh, that would have been
It failed, sadly.
Because he was still alive.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would like, in fact, well, we'll do this afterwards. If you could rename an airport, which one would it be? Because I reckon now sadly that Chas Hodges has died. Yeah. I think they should probably Southend should be renamed Chas and Dave International Airport. I know Dave's still alive, but that'd be kind of
Chas and Dave.
Chas and Dave International Airport. I just
make it all one word.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, how exotic.
Chas and Dave. It must be an African nation I've not heard of, yeah.
Chicago.
O'Hare? No, that's not. No, O'Hare.
Yeah,
is it?
Chicago O'Hare. Oh, but yeah. Who was O'Hare?
Oh, I mean, an early mayor of Chicago, I'm going to say.
No, he was a World War II flying ace.
Oh, right.
Butch O'Hare.
Wow.
Imagine that. Butch O'Hare. He was a legend, and he died in battle, and there is a reconstruction of his plane in the terminal. So if you ever have a layover there, you can go.
No, I've never flown to O'Hare. Yeah. I shall do that now.
Booking a ticket.
Butch's plane.
What is the name of the airport which serves Little Rock in Arkansas?
Oh, gosh. Oh, now, what do we know about Little Rock? We know Bill Clinton, but it's not him.
Is it not?
Oh, because maybe live people in America. Mm. Is it?
Not just Bill.
The Clinton International.
It's the Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport.
No freaking way.
Freaking way.
What?
Yeah, nice.
Oh, God, imagine Trump having to stop there. That's pretty. You'd route every single flight, wouldn't you? Sorry, Mr. Trump, you've got to stop at Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport on the way to Poughkeepsie.
What about, where is Chinggis Khan International Airport?
Well, now, that is probably in Ulaanbaatar.
It is definitely in Ulaanbaatar.
Oh, man.
She's good.
I'm on fire. I'm combining the fact that Ulaanbaatar, I know, is the capital of Outer Mongolia, which is one of my more obscure capitals. Done. I'm very, very pleased with myself. Can you see? Look, Amanda's looking at me. Yep. Got a glow.
Some quick fire ones to finish. Go on then. Salzburg.
Bach. Mozart.
Mozart. Rome.
The Pope, else? Al Capone. Not gonna be Romulus and Remus. Sophia Loren. Joe Dolce. Shut up at your face, International Airport. Shut up at your face, no.
Famous Italians.
Leonardo da Vinci.
It is Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, of course it was.
And finally, Tirana.
Oh, Tirana is somewhere... Oh, you see, now this is going to embarrass me. It's somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Uh-huh.
It is...
the capital of...
Oh, that's a good one. It's the capital of... Estonia.
Wow.
I learned a Paris speech. No, go on.
It's the capital of Albania.
Albania? Norman Wisdom Airport.
That would be incredible, but it's not. Sadly not.
Oh.
Slightly more famous worldwide. This
Oh, Mother Teresa. Yes. Mother Teresa. If only it could be Mother Teresa and Norman Wisdom.
You know what? Norman Wisdom lived out his final days on the Isle of Man, so I think...
Isle of Man Airport should be Norman Wisdom.
Should be Norman Wisdom.
That's nice. So we've got
Wisdom, our campaign.
Chas and Dave. And then
Southend Airport. Chas and Dave.
And then there must be another one. Where's Leicester or something? What's the East Midlands? They could probably come up with someone, couldn't they?
But Leicester could be the Lineker Airport.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. But we'll just have to wait for him to shuffle off, which I don't think Gary Lineker's going to do for at least another 90 years.
Let's hope not.
Because he's just in charge of the world right now, isn't he? He owns Twitter.
Bernie Winters and Schnorbitz, could they have an airport?
They can have any airport they want.
What about, let's make Paisley, or that one, what's the one, Glasgow Prestwick, that no one can remember. Let's make that the Crankies International Airport. There you go. Well, Jen, we're at the end of the episode, and I have to say it's been a corker. Oh, yes. Goodness me, I've enjoyed this.
What have we learned today?
Well,
what
we've learned is that Lucy am bloody brilliant.
She's on fire.
Oh, airports, ask me anything.
She's
ask
been strutting around like a cockerel.
Ask me anything about the things that Chris Walsh, our listener, thinks are important, namely about us. Oh, dear, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean... it's been lovely talking to the guests as well. It was wonderful. Yeah. But mainly my triumph was such a lovely way to end this series, Jen.
With a victory and...
And
I think, really displaying some serious knowledge on airports.
I think that sort of erased everything that went before it. Do you know, I can't even remember who... It's such a decisive victory today. I can't even remember who was winning before that. It doesn't really matter,
does
it? It's
irrelevant because this is the last show of
the series. We're having a small hiatus until 2019, but...
Not that far away, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's a few weeks, you know. You're not going to have to cope without us for that long, especially because we are also doing a Christmas special.
Yes, we shall be back with a little treatette for you to guide you into the holidays.
Quiztacular.
Christmas Quiztacular.
Which will be on the 19th.
We're really building it up. It better be good now.
19th of December. 21st of December, sorry.
Oh, perfect.
21st of December. Check back for a little bit of quizzing for Christmas. A little bit of quiz.
We will see you then.
Thank you very much for listening to Fingers on Buzzers.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.